Well, we're going to begin this morning and go back again to our teaching we've been doing as living a life of faith. And we're going to talk about some things today to live a life of faith, something we need to do. We've talked about it somewhat, but the Lord just gave me a little bit of instruction to areas of teaching what I'm supposed to do today. But I want us to go back over again to Romans, to the fourth chapter this morning. We're going to go back over to look at Abraham. Again, we're going to be looking at Abraham, and especially the things that the Apostle Paul wrote concerning Abraham in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans is really a key about living a life of faith. See, most people do is today, you know, we have, this is one of the reasons, most of the church world has no idea what living by faith is even about. They don't even have a clue. I mean, we can tell a lot by just with our government and the way things go on. We have our school systems, and they say you don't bring faith into that system. Well, this I know, those people within those systems, many of those people say, we're Christians, but we don't believe you ought to bring your faith to school, or you ought to bring it to the workplace. Well, they're liars. They're not Christians. They're liars. You can't go set your faith down somewhere and go, well, no, over. We don't live this. Your faith, you got to live out through your entire life, or you don't have any faith. It's all just wind blowing, wind talking, and that's what we have. Most of the church world today is all wind blowing. They talk and they have these nice religious cliches and all this stuff they say. You know, they'll get a Christmas time and they'll get their mangers out and put them out in front of the church. And it's amazing how many of those ministers don't even believe in the virgin birth. But yet they'll do it because to them it is no more than Santa Claus. That's what it is. It's just Santa Claus. You know, we get Santa Claus and we put Santa Claus out. In fact, you know, it's just that probably most of them, they probably have more belief in Santa Claus than they do in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in these things. You can't, your faith, the way you believe, you can't go lay it down someplace and go do something else. Because this is exactly what happens. If you lay your faith aside, you're going to end up believing something else. It's that simple. It is impossible to maintain faith laying it aside and going doing something else. You're going to end up believing in the things that you do. That's what you're going to believe in. That's what you're going to trust in. You're going to trust in those things. Now, we're living the natural, and we have to do, there's things we do in the natural, but we know we need to learn how to incorporate our faith around the natural part of our life that we live. That there's not a separation between the two. This is why many times people entrusting God never see things happen. And they'll say, I wonder why God did such for so-and-so, and he don't seem to do nothing for me. Lots of times it's because they have not incorporated the principles of faith around their life. They have these separate parts of their life. They have this thing, I'm doing this over here, and this over here I do for God, this over here is me. And God wants you to incorporate him into the things of your life, into your desires, the things that you want. There's nothing, we should want, you know, a nice living, and there's nothing wrong with that. God wants to get incorporated to help you bring those things to pass in your life. Or what you'll do is you'll just go out and work 90 hours a week to try to have something. That's what you'll do, and ignore God completely. You know, and that's what, you know, you have that choice. We have this choice, you know, what we're going to do in life, how we view money and how we view things. You know, today, money is really mostly, riches really govern most people today, and even most people call themselves Christians. Even people are poor. Some of, you know, people, I've often watched this, as you sit around and you look at people who say they're poor and they talk about the rich person craving and lusting after money. I mean, the poor people do it more than any other group. Poor people are always lusting after somebody else's money. Well, they ought to take his and give it to us. They ought to do this. And they're running around doing this. Lots of them, that's why they're poor. If they worked half as hard as that guy that got the money, they'd have something. Loads of them don't. People say, the poor people work so hard. I can take you around Lebanon and I'll show you the poor people. Most of them ain't working at all. They're sitting at home. And the government's taking care of them. I mean, the businesses within our communities have to go out and hire outside because they can't get people to work. That's shameful. And, you know, a lot of them can't work because, well, drugs and stuff. They can't pass the drug tests and everything else. And so we tell them, look, we'll support you. Just stay on drugs and we'll support you anyhow. Crazy system. That ain't God's system for sure. But we want to look at some things, because in these things, as principles, there's a number of things that are laid out in this short scripture verses that are laid out here. But speaking of Abraham, tell us some hugely important things. And really principles that are laid down that we can learn to incorporate into our life to get God involved. I don't know what you, but I want God involved in my life. I lived for 30 years without God involved in my life, and I made pretty much of a mess of it. You know, I made a downright mess of it. But it's getting God involved. And I've, even since I've been a Christian, I've come along and many times found out that things that I had, things I didn't let God involved in, and, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good for a while. But then you run into things and you're just like, oh man, I need God involved. You know, I've done enough. And so we want to look at this. We're going to, in Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 13, we read these before, but we want to go back through them again. It says, for the promise that he would be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, Abraham could not attain the promise through the law or the works of the law or following some kind of just religious system. It was through faith is the only way that Abraham could attain the promise. And you need to understand this. It's the only way that you can too. It's through faith. That doesn't mean that faith doesn't do anything. Faith will have actions. Whatever you truly believe, you're going to act on. You know, this is one thing, you know, people need to know. I've had people come along and they'll walk up and they'll say, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. Well, by their actions, they just told me they're not. Now, they're not in faith, or they wouldn't have made that statement. Their statement is contrary to faith. I don't know that if I'm in faith. Well, if you couldn't be in faith and not know. It's an impossibility. If you don't know, then you're not. You know, say, I don't know if I'm in Lebanon or not. You know, I don't know. People, you know, I don't know. Where am I? You know, when people don't know where they're at. In other words, your voice and your actions locate where you are. They locate your thinking. They locate where, you know, what the direction you're heading. They locate it. You know, I'm just amazed that people never listen to themselves talk. They never listen to the words they say. Most people, 90% of what they speak, they have never listened to. They've never heard it. You know, it's like Randall Greer said, you know, had talked about the fact, he said, there was a minister who was going through a whole bunch of trouble, and he knew, and this guy was going through, man, loads of problems and things like that. And he was at the guy's church, and he was looking over some of the guy's series on his teaching, and he had all these recorded series and stuff. And Randy said, I'd like to buy some of your series and listen to them here. And the guy said, oh, you just take whatever you want. You can have them. And Randy said, I picked up a number of his series to listen to. And he said, I had quite a long drive to go home. So he said, I started putting them in and listening to them and that stuff. And he said, I was listening to his series. And he said, I got a revelation for this guy. So he said, I pulled over alongside the road, got my phone out and called him. And he said, I got a revelation for you, brother. And he said, did you hear from heaven? He said, no. He said, your problem is you don't listen to your teaching. He said, if you listen to your teaching, you'd live right. And he said, these things would work out for you. He said, you wouldn't be in a situation you're in. Loads of people are walking around saying things, if they would listen to what they're saying, they don't even listen to the faith things they say. They don't pay no attention to it. It's all just rote, comes out of their mouth. You know, got these religious quotes that we know to do. And especially, I find out people, see, I've learned this over the year. When I get around people who don't know me, I never tell them I'm a minister. I never mention church, Christianity, or not. Because if I do, they start talking different. Christians will always start talking different. I've sat and listened to Christians talk and listened to them talk a while, and then I come and walk in, and then they see me, but I've heard them talking, and all of a sudden, boy, they've just become real religious and talking real nice and play these little games. People do it all the time. Play these games. And the Christians do it the most. The Christians are the biggest ones that do it, you know. They'll talk and say any old thing, and somebody that they know, you know, it might be a little bit spiritual, comes around, and all of a sudden they strap up and they just, you know. Oh, it's not now we're religious. Well, what it is they haven't learned to live a life of faith. They haven't learned. That person has not learned to live a life by faith. I'm not saying things to knock people, but you need to understand this. If I want to live a certain way or walk a certain way, you're not going to do it, you know, once in a while doing this and once in a while doing that. You're going to have to incorporate this thing in together. So you want to get God incorporated in. Abraham, we found out, for him to attain what he wanted to attain, it was going to have to be done through faith in God. It was going to happen. And how was he going to do this? Well, it goes on to say, he says, verse 14, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is no effect. Understand this. The people of the law are not heirs. The Jews that have not accepted Jesus Christ are not heirs of heaven. Do you know that? Most churches and most ministers believe totally opposite of what the Bible says. They got their crazy ideas. I used to go to church years ago, and they used to think that if a person was a Jew, got to be a Christian, he was higher than a Gentile Christian. And they're just nutty and flaky, you know, fruits and nuts. That's what I think it was Dr. Roy Hicks used to say about the charismatics. He said they're like granola bar Christians. They're like flakes and nuts. There's a lot of truth in that, folks. It's because they don't know what the Bible says. I'll tell you, a person can stand in no better place than to be a born again Christian. And no one is higher above any other. Just because a Jew accepts Jesus, he don't have a higher standing or a higher place with God, because he is a natural Jew. The natural born Jew, that ain't what counts anymore. You know, you realize the Jews are going to turn around, and they're already doing it. They're already building all their stuff for the temple and the temple worship. That isn't what God's looking for. Just because the Bible says they're going to do it, it don't say it's the will of God. That's what they're going to do. The will of God is that everyone accept Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. It's the will of God for 100% of the people on the earth. Not for just, you know, this group, the Gentiles and the Jews go back over. God's not going to respond to them through the law. If he would respond to them through the law in that temple, then what's he got those, what's the 100,000 that he's gonna, you know, that are gonna be called out to preach the gospel of the Jews? There'd be no point to it. I mean, God's not going to respond to them through it. They can go back to all their sacrificing and do all their stuff, but that's not God's move for them. I hear people say, well, you go over to Israel and, oh yes, God's, you know, moving in them and God's inspiring them to do this. Well, if he is, then God is inspiring to move through the law, and it is a lie to the New Testament. So the New Testament's a lie. You know, people get caught up in stuff just because they see it happen. It was mentioned in the Bible that that's what God wanted. There's loads of things mentioned in the Bible that people did, but it wasn't what God wanted. It ended up that way. Men follow things. So, you know, thank God that all the craziness, even in my own Christian life, the stupid things that I did, it wasn't God's plan for me. Thank God I found out what was right. And you know, we have choices and we need to do that. We need to find out the perfect will of God. The Bible tells us in Romans there's that good, acceptable, and perfect will. Most Christians will only ever live in the good. Most Christians will never even enter the acceptable will of God, and very few will enter into the perfect will of God. It's not God's plan, it's their choice. Most people will follow just what seems religiously good and never finds out the perfect will. The Lord told me, the Lord said this to me one day while I was driving along in my car. There's only about 8% of Christians that are in the world that are in my perfect will. So he said to me one day, I said, dear Lord. All the rest fall in that other category. He said the majority, 80% are in my good will. So he said to me, 80%. 80%. Well, see, we wonder why Christianity is so messed up. Because most people, the goodwill of God, you know what that is? I got saved. I accepted Jesus. That is about as far as 80% go. They'll practice all kind of religious stuff, and many of them seem very, you know, staunch Christians, but they have never entered into God's will for their life. It doesn't matter if you don't get born again and you don't enter into the will of God for your life. There's not much importance about while you're here on this earth. Your Christian life's not going to produce much of anything. And you just get into heaven by the skin of your teeth. And you ain't got much skin on your teeth if you check lately. You surely can't get there by no works. You ain't got none. You have no works of faith. Just like Mike was talking about giving this morning. When the Bible talks about that, like Mike was saying, how can I give? How do I give in this life? I give by laying up treasure in heaven. I give by acting in faith. I am laying up in treasure in heaven by my actions of faith here. By what I do by faith. That lays it up there, but also allows me to live out of that account here. You know, that account can get so big up there. I mean, it is so enormous. I mean, you can't even touch. You couldn't do it all and have it all here. There's going to be plenty for over there. But you need to, it's through our actions of faith here, not by law. It's just like with tithing. Many Christians give by law when they give their tithe. They don't give by faith. They give by law. Well, I'm just doing my tithe. They don't come by faith. I'm giving by faith. Hallelujah. I'm acting on the word of God because their actions after they give, there are not really actions of faith. And we want to look at this with Abraham. Because verse 15 says this, because the law brings about wrath, for there is no law, there is no transgression. The law will only bring about wrath. The law is not going to bring to you, walking and following religious laws and rules is not going to bring about what you need. You know, just following some kind of code of conduct. There is nothing matter with having good conduct. But we must walk by faith in God. We got to trust God. We want to look at this as how Abraham. It says, therefore, it is of faith. In other words, the promise is of faith. Because that's the subject of what we're talking about. Abraham was given a promise that he was going to be the heir of the world. He was given this promise by God. Now, that promise can only come to pass or can only be fulfilled through faith. And he says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Look, we need to understand, when we talk about the grace of God, most people refer to the grace of God just by getting born again. Well, that is only the beginning of grace. You need to live by grace the rest of your life. It has to be every day in your life you're allowing grace to work in your life. If grace isn't working, grace is God's ability on your behalf. See, most people say, well, grace is, you know, unmerited favor. That's one definition from it, but the majority of the time in the New Testament, in the writings of the epistle, the word grace is not talking about that at all. It's talking about God's ability. When he's talking here about this, he can't be talking about salvation in itself. Abraham wasn't born again. Jesus hadn't died. But yet he says grace. Abraham lived in the grace of God. You can live in the ability of God. And how do you do it? You do it by faith. Not by unmerited favor. Unmerited favor is to every person in the earth. It's already been given. Jesus died for everybody. Unmerited favor is already given. Whoever can grasp a hold by faith of God can experience grace. But grace is not experienced because it is given. It's only attained by faith. So when someone got born again, they took a hold of the grace of God and got born again. But that grace was there the whole time. The ability of God, grace was the ability of God that saved you. You needed the ability of God to get saved. You couldn't get saved on your own ability. That's an impossibility. The scripture tells us. So grace was at work. So constantly grace is at work. We find that through faith is how we're taking a hold of grace. He said, so the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only of those who are of the law, but of those who are of faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Faith is really what equals out for everybody. In the kingdom of God, everyone has exactly the same opportunity. No one has a better opportunity than another. Some people take opportunity and some don't. See, this is why we live in today in America. They're trying to take the person who took the opportunity of America and worked and earned and got the guy who don't, they're trying to take from him and give it to them. We know this isn't godly. We know that's the devil. Because that ain't how God's system works. We have right here how it works. The system is totally by faith. Everyone has the opportunity, every group, every person has the opportunity to get a hold of faith and use their faith to bring God's promise to their life. So, We need to understand that. We can measure things. That's why people say, that, you know, sit around today and they don't know what's God. And they say, well, what about the poor? What about this? Look at the Word says. The Bible says if a guy don't work, he shouldn't eat. He didn't say if he was poor, he skips over that. If he refuses to work, he should not eat. I mean, it's the Bible, but who cares what the Bible says? You know, we can be Christians and throw the Bible away. Who cares? You know, just because somebody's hungry, I'm not nice for it. They ain't going to do nothing. I'm sorry. I'd rather follow the Bible and go to heaven than go do what I think's good and go to hell. I tell you, hell's going to be full of well-meaning people. It already is today. People who leave this earth and find out they walked in their own salvation. They walked in their own deliverance. They didn't believe in the Word of God. They didn't believe what it said. They followed what men did. I'm not going to do that. So it is by faith. In other words, through this grace we attain it. Now I want you to look, because now we're going to begin to look at how Abraham walked in this grace of God by faith in what he was doing, his natural life, what he's walking in. Listen what it says here, verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. This is God's, what God has saying, as it is written. Now this is what God said. I have made you the father of many nations. In other words, God stating the promise. This is the promise stated. The promise stated is always, you, and understand this, all promises that God made in the Bible are always going to be past tense. They're going to be made present. We need to understand this. Any promise for me to receive at this time has to be stated in past tense. If it's not, if it's something to be given in the future, then I can't believe for it now, can I? See, salvation demand to get born again is stated 100% past tense. Jesus already died. He already shed his blood. What? Past tense. What? That anybody who calls on his name can be saved. Why? The promise is past tense. It's something that's already done. See, you don't have to do something to get Jesus to save you. What you needed to be saved has already been done. And the Word says, how do you get it? By calling on the name of the Lord by faith. How you do it? You receive Christ by faith. You believe what His promise said and you accept it and you confess it with your mouth. Because we want to look at this. The promise, we want to find out. Abraham, it has not changed. Abraham, through confession, received the promise. We're going to find this out. It says, okay, the promise was made. He said, I've made you the father of many nations. He says, in the presence of him whom he believed. God, in the presence, okay, God, in the presence of Abraham, he said to Abraham, I made you the father of many nations. I've done it. I've done it. I've made you the father. I've done it. Now we need to, we'll go on here. It says, what does he do? What does this God do? This says God. What? Who gives life to the dead? We're gonna talk about this because this is talking specifically here because we're going to find out what it means when he's talking about giving life to the dead. He isn't generally talking about raising people from the dead, but we have this here because of what he did. He took two people whose bodies were considered dead and produced a child through them. In other words, this promise had the power to take two people that naturally was impossible for them to produce children, and they produced children. They produced a child. The promise was good enough for that. See, if you don't understand that principle, most people are trying to attain the promises of God instead of believing them. And this is why it don't work. The promise was given. He said, I've already made you the father of many nations. Now, I want you to understand this. When was that promise made to Abraham? Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah was 60 years old at the time the promise was made. And so, she was 65. She was 65 years old. Abraham was made with this promise was made to them. This promise was not fulfilled until Sarah hit 90 and Abraham was 100. See, we have today, you know, see, people talk about all believe in God and trust in God, but generally people don't. We believe whatever our culture tells us medically you can do or ready. We don't, all the promise of God. I've sat down and stood in things over the years. I remember, you know, some ministers telling me I was getting out there a little bit far on believing and stuff and doing things. And the whole problem was, is they were so full of unbelief. They were so full of the world, what the world says about God will do for you. And they were so full of it, you know, anything that was out beyond what the natural could perform, they couldn't see how it could be done. That's why? Because they didn't believe the promise of God. They couldn't believe it. And here we have with Abraham. Abraham is going to, we're going to find out, because Abraham's believing God, believing this promise. He said, he gives life to the dead. And what does this God do? What God does this. It says, God does this. He calls things that do not exist as though they do. Now I want you to see this. God is in doing this. God said, I have made you the father of many nations. Now, did that exist? No. Abraham's childless. He's 75 years old and ain't got a son. But God said, you do. God said, you got an heir. In fact, you're the heir of the world. Do you realize we're heirs of the world? In the new heaven and the new earth, everybody who has not been of faith in Jesus Christ ain't going to be there. We're the heirs of that world, the new heaven and the new earth. We're heirs of that through faith, just like Abraham. Abraham was the first one in the earth to believe to be an heir of that world. He had a revelation from God. He couldn't have believed it without the revelation from God. But God didn't give him just a revelation at that time. He said, you're the heir of the world. In other words, you're going to own this thing one day, Abraham. We're going to own this thing one day. It's ours. God ain't got to own it. Hallelujah. He's an heir of the world. God calls things that don't exist as though they do. Now let's find out. We need to understand this. Abraham started off, his name was not Abraham. Abraham's name was Abram. I never looked up to find out what Abram mean, but it must not have been important because it wasn't producing what he needed in life. So God did this. God turned around. God said, I'm making you the father of many nations. In other words, I'm going to make you the heir of the entire world. I'm going to do this. This is my promise. I'm going to do it. He didn't say this by Abraham. If you do this, 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 and this. He said, this is my promise to you. This is what I'm going to do to you, Abraham. All you got to do is pack your bags, move away from dad's house, get over here, get out away from your family, and go over here so I can turn you into something. Most people like where they're at. They keep asking God for more, and God can't get them to pull out one peg from where they are. He can't get them to do nothing from where they're at. They're going to hang on to everything that keeps them under. Because this is what I love. You know, I love. I'm afraid, you know. Abraham had to move. Now, he moves, and what does God do? God said, look, I'm going to give you a name. It's called Abraham. Abraham means a father of a multitude. Here's a guy with no kids. He got a wife that ain't producing, and he ain't going nowhere. And God says, I'm giving you a name. The name corresponded with the promise. The promise was, you're going to be heir of the world. In other words, the only way you're going to be the heir of the world unless you're producing heirs. And God said, I want you, I am naming you. God gives him a covenant name, and that covenant name is Abraham. And I've talked about this before, I am sure. It's just, I know what Abraham went through because I know what I went through when I began to start, when I was a young Christian and began to start to confess what the Bible says about me. Christians turned on me. Oh, you know, this and that. They started saying things, you know. You're one of these name it and claim it people. You're exactly right. Let me alone. The cowards in the bunch who were over got offended by the name and claim it people, and then we backed off of it. They began to preach other stuff because we don't want to get out there too much. We're not name and claim it. Yes, we are. Abraham was a name it and claimed it. God told him to do it. God gave him the name Abraham and told him to start calling himself by that because why? He was claiming the heir of the world. I'm a name it and claim it. If you don't like it, there's a door back there. Go. That's what I am. If you want to belong to a church that gets, you know, and everybody pats each other on the back and stays sick and dies early or something, go ahead, do it. I ain't going with you. Abraham, I will guarantee, I know Abraham was persecuted for this. I will guarantee you. The Bible says this in the New Testament. It says if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. That's why many people won't follow Christ. Many Christians won't. Because if you follow what the Bible says, everybody wants to be buddy and everybody pat him on the back and like him. I'm going to tell you, there's only one guy I want to be buddy with real good. That's Jesus. If nobody else wants to be buddy with him, you'll go do something else. But we're going to have to decide. You know, we're living these last days and the devil did cast his net and I ain't getting in it. I'm going back in the foundations of my belief and be ridiculous and talk the Bible and say what the Bible says. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start saying what the Bible says, and if people don't want to be my friend, you know, that's fine with me. Don't bother me in the least. I'm not going to give up on the promises of God for people. Because I've watched people do that. And what happens? In their intent to gain people, they end up just like the people that they're trying to reach. We reach people by following what the Word of God says. We don't reach them by living like the world, acting like they do, doing what they do. If God can't deliver me from my habits, He ain't very big God. He's pretty flaky. You know, nobody can get delivered of nothing today. And the reason they don't is because they don't follow these principles. They follow the world's principles. Talk like the world, act like the world, try to be like the world. And the world looks at us and they know they can control. They know they can control. See, it's one thing I found out when I worked at Reese's, when people started, first they tried to start to control me. They started, you know, when I got over there, you know, you're flake. Once they found out I wasn't going to be turned, then it's like, just ignore him. Just ignore him. Let him go. You know, he'll find out one day. And I did. I found out one day that this stuff works, man. And I got into it. And I will tell you what happened over time. People, Christians who made fun of me, whenever they would run into trouble, they didn't go to their friends and ask for help. Because they knew their friends couldn't give them no help. They would come and ask the fanatic, would you pray for me? Why? Because we pray and nothing happens. And when you pray, I remember a guy in church told me one time, speaking of tongues is of the devil. And he told me that till he got in a serious situation. And all of a sudden he wanted, I guess, the devil to work, you know, to do something because his God didn't. And he came and saw something miraculous happen. You know, God had me work through a thing. He come along and asked me to pray. He had a friend who was in the medical center who was in a coma, had been in a coma for a real long time. And he hadn't seen the guy for years, but the doctors contacted him and they were looking something that sometimes may stimulate a person to come out of a coma. So he comes up to me and says, they called me and asked me to come and see this guy. He said, we were real close friends in school, but haven't seen each other for years. He said, would you pray? He said, I'm going to go over this afternoon to see him. And I said, sure. See, when people ask me to pray, I actually pray. But if I ain't going to pray about it, there's times people ask me to pray for certain things. And I said, I ain't praying about that. You know, they go, you pray about it. You know, some people are just trying to pass stuff off because they don't pray. Yeah, would you pray for me? Why, do you pray for you? Well, no, I ain't got time. I ain't got time either. Goodbye. You don't pray? I have people, we have prayer meetings, and they'd call and ask, would you pray at prayer meeting for this? I said, you come to prayer meeting? No. I said, well, it ain't that important. We ain't praying for it. We ain't praying enough for you to be there. It ain't enough for me to be there either. You know, I'll be wasting my time with it because it ain't that important. Well, anyhow, so I did lunchtime. This is what I did. I just went down the locker room, began to pray. I was sitting down in the locker room, never expected other than just praying about this guy. I just felt to pray about this young man. So I'm over there, I'm praying, just minding my own business there, praying. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me just as clear. He said, you go up and tell so-and-so, when he goes over and talks to that guy's going to wake up. He's going to be completely fine. You go tell him. I thought, oh, man. God would have me do this thing. Go tell people stuff. Well, you know, this guy here is an exact believer in this God talking to you and stuff. You know, they read the Bible and say, God don't talk to people today. What an ignoramus. We serve a God and he can't even talk. He's so dumb. He can't even get across to his people. Can't talk. Well, anyhow, I went up to the guy and I said, don't worry about it. The Lord told me to tell you this. You're going to go over and see this guy. You're going to talk to him. He's going to wake up. He's going to be fine. And he's there smiling and just sort of, okay. Okay. God said, oh, this is one of those guys that hears from God. Maybe I shouldn't ask him to pray. Maybe I shouldn't ask. But God used this thing to witness me. But anyhow, he went over to the hospital. The next day he comes to work. He's ecstatic. He comes running to me and said, it happened just like you said. He said, I went in and started talking to this guy. I said, I hadn't even talked to him 1 minute. He said, the guy's eyes came open. He sat up in the bed and started talking to me. Well, you need to understand, this didn't happen because of him. He couldn't hook up with God of faith to do anything like that. See, their church preaches, you know, that the healing and all that's gone and all that stuff. I don't know why they bother praying for sick people, because they've told me themselves they don't believe, you know. God can, but he mostly don't. Okay. But see, God does things to witness things to people. That's why you want to walk right. They might think you're flaky. People need to see a miracle. And they ain't going to see a miracle if you join them. That's why this secret friendly church stuff today. They're going to see miracles. They'll go join because I can be just so-called Christian and live like hell. I can just do what I want in life and go live there and don't matter. God loves us all. Sure does. Hell, everybody that's in hell, God loved them. And there's people in hell for sure. I know for a fact. Hallelujah. Well, so we find out, what did Abraham do? So God gave this Abraham this name. It says, now listen what the statement is. It says, who's contrary to hope, in hope believed. Contrary. See, we have this statement that was made before. God calls things that don't exist as though they exist. So we have this statement who makes a statement about hope. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. In other words, to the way things, hoping in the way that things looked, there was no hope. But contrary to hope, what was the contrary? The contrary to hope was based on what the promise said. Because remember, God calls things that don't exist. If you look over the don't exist side, this is where most Christians live, is on the don't exist side. That's where they live. That's where they're walking and living. That's why they have trouble in the areas of faith. Because they're walking over in the area all the time. That's their way of life. It's walking and living by the don't exist. And they're always trying to get God to do something for you, but they're not ever over in the place of hope. They're never standing on the promise. They're always talking about the problem, always looking at this trouble. That's where they're living. That's where they're walking at. And we know they do that by what they talk. Now, I want you to understand this. I've learned this over the times of when people ask me to pray for something, I listen closely to what they say. Now, I want to say this. Most people that come and ask me to pray for something, I know this, they're not in faith about it. They're not even in faith about it. Because I can tell by the words that they speak to me, the words that they're saying about praying, I listen to it. And I know that, because what they speak to me is always all about the problem. I don't know everything about the problem. Dear Lord, I'm not a psychiatrist. Get over it, folks. Thank God. Praise you, Jesus. Some of the craziest people I ever met in my life. Oh. It says, so he was contrary to hope. Now look, there's contrary to all natural hope. There's contrary to the promise. You need to understand this. Here's where most people are fail in the beginning with right away with faith, is because they're trying to stand over in natural hope. They're not standing in the hope of the promise. It's all about the problem. It's all about the problem. Abraham didn't go over there. Abraham had a promise. His focus is contrary to what is naturally going on. It is contrary. It is in an opposite direction. In the natural says, you ain't have no kids. God said, yes, you are. Abraham said, I'm going to go with yes, you are. And he calls himself Abraham. And I guarantee you, people are doing that. Oh, man, that old flake, you know, started getting old. His mind's gone now. His mind's gone. He's walking out there around. Then he's 75. He hits 90. And he's still, that guy still calls himself Abraham. I'll let it alone. He's an old man. He just don't know. You know, I was told this when I got to be a Christian. He's just young in the Lord. He don't understand. See, I was too young. And then you get up there where you start getting some age on you. Then you just become, he's getting old now and crazy. Hallelujah. Let me alone. I'm having fun. Glory to God. So he said, in hope, what did he do? He believed. You can know this. You can know that if you're in actual hope of the Bible, you're believing. If you're saying, I don't know if I'm in faith or not, you just made the statement, I'm on the other side of the contrary. I'm still living over on, my hope is based on the natural side. That's why I don't know where I'm at. That's darkness. See, you're not walking in the light of the Word of God. You're blind. You see how all this stuff fits? You're blind. And we're talking about, this works for everyday life. See, that's why people, you know, I can sit down and watch the news and listen to tell all their crazy stories and all their stuff. And I don't get all frustrated. You know, I would years ago. If this stuff was going on years ago, I'd have been all frustrated. But I grew up enough that I can watch this stuff now and listen to it. It don't change what I believe about the Bible at all. They can say and do what they want. It ain't going to change what I believe. I'm not moved by it. But see, you've got to come to that point. See, I'm on the side of contrary. I'm in a hope that's based on promise. So why? I'm believing over here. It doesn't bother me what I see. If what you see is bothering you, it's because you have not gone to even God's hope yet, much less be in faith. You see this? It's trying to explain to this how it goes. This is what happens. Now, because look, he said contrary to hope. So that, why this hope? This hope that led him to believe, this hope, it says that so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. See, that thing led him to become exactly what the promise said. He didn't have to make himself what the promise said. Him believing the promise made him that. You got born again. You couldn't make yourself get born again. You got born again. You believed the Word. When you believed it, it made you born again. It did it. Contrary to any natural hope that your life would ever change, you got born again by faith and it changed your life. Anybody who says they got born again, they don't have a changed life, they're a liar. Abraham's promise manifested. He became what the promise was. When you become a child of God, you don't act like the child of the devil. Believe me, I know. I lived like the child of the devil. I was involved in sorcery and all that rot. I was into all that. When I got born again, I started acting like a child of God. I wasn't over there with the devil's junk and playing with the devil's stuff anymore. And see, we need to know. It changed your life. Abraham is believing the promise. Now think about this man. 75 years old, he gets the promise. It don't happen until he's 100. 25 years, he stood on this thing. Walked around calling himself a father of a multitude, making people call him by that. I can just see this. I tell you what, thank God, you know, he had an obedient wife, Sarah. Today in America, you know, the wife would be saying, I have my choice of what I want to say. I don't have to say what you want me to say. I don't have to. There's a lot of stuff don't work today is why they don't. Because I tell you, we're living, you know, folks, and we need to understand this. Our culture today is destroying Christianity and right in the church because there's no submission and authority. There's nothing to nothing anymore. And that's why it don't work. That's why this stuff ain't working out. Everybody's living their own lives. And running around and saying everything but what the Bible says. Now listen to this. Now listen to what it says. He was over here. He was operating in contrary to anything natural going on. He's contrary in what he believes. In other words, he does not believe what he sees. Oh, now you're getting out there pretty far. Now this is getting into mind control. I want you to understand this. If you can't control your mind, you ain't going nowhere in faith. You better have some mind control. You better get there. See, we got all this stuff out of people are afraid to preach today and talk about, oh, this isn't mind control. You better have, I'm supposed to have a renewed mind. I'm supposed to be a mind that's under the control of God and not under control of the rest of the craziness going on. I need a controlled mind. I don't know about you. I need a controlled mind. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. It goes on to say, he says, and now, and not being weak in faith. You need to understand this. You could be strong in faith or you could be weak in faith. You can be strong or you can be weak. So a lot of people today, what? If you're going to have strong faith, you're going to have to do whatever. This is what strong faith is. Abraham's showing us. He doesn't believe what he sees. He's calling himself. He is speaking and calling himself what his covenant says he's supposed to call himself. He's calling himself by the promise. The name is exactly in line with the promise. You need to understand. See, the Bible says Jesus himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. The Bible says in the New Testament, by his stripes you were healed. People always sit around and talk about their sickness. They call themselves by contrary to Bible hope. They call themselves to the contrary. They call themselves by what they see. They don't call themselves, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm full of health. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I'm healed in Jesus' name. No, I'll tell you, I've just been hacking and coughing all week, and I've just have all this and this stuff and her and that stuff. And I just can't wait to go to the doctor so I can tell him for a half an hour how bad it's been. And I ain't gonna go, I'm gonna make all this, but they don't confess. What happens? They put themselves in a position of weakness of faith. They're not doing what Abraham isn't considering. Listen to what it goes on to say about him. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He did not consider. If you want to get healed, you got to quit considering your body. Don't mean stuff ain't going on in your body, but it can't be the basis of what you believe. If it's the basis of what you believe, you're always going to be weak in faith. I know what it is to be feeling lousy and just get up, go do a little jig and a dance. And praise God, I'm healed. Hallelujah, I'm so glad. I'll tell you, the Lord told me one time why. He said to me, this goes back only about a year or so ago. The Lord spoke to me and he said, you know why you've seen such, he said, dramatic, you know, healings and stuff and things you see? He said, because, he said, you do really, you know, get out there sort of things that I will do. I'll do sort of crazy, extreme stuff. He said, you'll do extreme things, but if a faith. And he said, you'll do it. And he said, it brings extreme results. See, Abraham's doing an extreme thing. He's 25 years down the road. Just think, he's 99 years old and Sarah ain't even pregnant yet. 89-year-old mama. I mean, excuse me, with Abraham, she was 89. Abraham's 99 years old. And they're going, honey, let's go tonight to bed. We're going to. Yeah. People today, my words, you can't even get a 50 in bed anymore. I just, you know. People believe what they believe. Look, people are walking and stuff. It's how you believe things. See, we believe whatever the doctors say today, they're the gods. Promise, the Bible offers promise, but we have doctors. And anything that they say or anything they do, it's the right thing. My God, it's amazing. Most all the drugs you have people going now doing now are killing them. Every time the FDA is pulling drugs because they're just all the stuff that they said was going to be the change our lives, boy. They're just going to they have changed our life. They'll make you live sick and miserable for a long time before they kill you. You know? Don't take aspirin. Take the Tylenol. And now it's, oh my God, the Tylenol is killing people. Oh, don't take the aspirin, is it? You know? It's insane. What goes on? Abraham was not moved by what he saw. He didn't consider his body. Also, what? He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he didn't look, even though Sarah's an old lady, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah was, I'm almost 100 years old. He's almost 100 years old. He doesn't consider his body, and he looks over at Mama and said, "That don't matter either. It don't matter how old it looks. Mama's going to have a baby." Now, can you imagine what people are saying? This is why people won't, you need to understand this. This is why people never enter the place of strong faith, because of their fear of the people around them. I'm not going to say it because people around me are going to think that I'm a nut. You need to understand this. According to the world standard, you're not a nut. You're just downright insane. Get over it. Take the pill. Do it. Go ahead. If you're trying to get the world to understand, the world did not understand Jesus. They killed him. By him not playing to what the world wanted, he could redeem the world. We're not going to reach the world in this weak faith stuff that the church is into today. We're not going to reach the world with it. It's not going to be reached. They're going to stay in their sin. Abraham, this is strong faith. Not considering what... Here's what the promise says. Here's what everything looks like in the natural. Abraham said, "I'm going that way. I'm going to go with that promise. He said it was so. I'm going to believe it. God said it. That's it." He did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. He didn't waver. Abraham didn't go all over the time. You need to understand how this works. This is why most times people never see stuff. Because they're believing for a while, then they go over and see what they see again, and then they're back over there. They're back and forth in their wavering. There was a guy whose name was James, wrote a letter to the church and said that a guy that wavers, don't let him think he will receive anything from God. We need to understand how these things work. I know how to miss it. I've done it. I've known how to get over there and mess around with faith and really not get into it and find myself down the road and nothing's working. Till I finally decide, I'm going to get in faith, but I'm going to believe this thing and I'm going to walk like the Bible says. I learn it by listening to teaching about Abraham, what I'm teaching you right now. There's things in your life that you're going to have to get strong faith to get a hold of, and it ain't going to do it any other way. And you're going to have to decide, oh, well, I just, you know, people used to say, well, I had a person one time, they're no longer here at this church, but they said, that stuff's fine for Ed, but it's not for everybody. And what they're saying is, look, I'm not going to walk by faith. I like living worldly. I ain't staying around there because, you know, I'll feel guilty if I do. This is what happens to many Christians. They feel guilty when somebody starts walking by faith rather than saying, I'm going to. You know, when I got born again, I listened to the story of Kenneth E. Hagin, who got healed. Everybody left him. You know, all the doctors, anything, he's going to die. They can't do nothing for him. He got a hold of the Word of God and believed the Word of God at 16 years old without the help of any preaching from anybody else, just going to the Word of God. 16 years old. And believed what the Bible said is true, which was probably one of the best things. He didn't have some dumb preacher to tell him God was the one who wanted to kill him for some good reason. And believed the Word of God and got healed. And when I heard his story, I said, I'm 30 years old. If a 16-year-old boy can believe God and get off of a deathbed, there is no reason Ed Gibson can't believe the Word. If I don't, I'm a slacker. Now, I'm just going to tell you, some of you have been a slackers. That's your problem. If you don't deal with it, I ain't going to be a slacker. I'm not going to make an excuse and say, well, it was all right for Ed not to believe. You know, God did that because he had a special call. No, I said, if he can believe God at 16, it would be a shame for Ed Gibson to sit around and whine, and it would be a shame for me not to be able to get healed. He got off a deathbed. Dear Lord. I ought at least be able to believe God to get healed. He was dying. Giving up to doctors, no hope. Deformed heart, incurable blood disease, and there was like three or four different things wrong with him. And they said, the doctors told him that any one of those things would kill you. Boy, there was no side over there on that hope on the other side, was there? You know, Abraham didn't have it. You know, you can sit there and play over that, but what are you going to have? Abraham, I'm an old man, I got an old woman. God said we're going to have a kid. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened. Here's what he did, and here's what you got to learn to do, was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Here's where most people, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm not saying it's a knock anybody, where most of you miss it in the areas of faith. You only get over to the glory to God when you see something happen. That's the only time you do it. There ain't no faith in that. It don't take a lick of faith to praise God after it happened. The world does that all the time. They get something good happen. I mean, go watch. They'll play the lottery and win the lottery. After it happened. I don't know. There's no faith involved in that. That's most Christians. How do you stay in strong faith? Every day giving glory to God that it's true. Every day saying, you know what? My body says I'm sick, but I said I'm healed. God's word says that I'm healed. He said that Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness. I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. I'm so glad you healed me. Hallelujah. Giving glory to God for the promise. You can't walk in strong faith without doing that. We have the pattern here. Here's the pattern given of how this works in life. This is how you walk by faith in things. This is how you do it. When you said you believed the promise was true, you should have stopped right at that point, got a big grin on your face and said, glory to God, God healed me, or God, praise God, I got the money I need, glory to God. What I'm believing God for in the promise. We've all been given names. The Bible says what? Let the weak say I'm strong. The church world is let the weak say I'm weak. Oh, and you know, pray for the weak. Pray for me that I'm weak. You just said you're weak, you're standing there. My prayer ain't going to change that at all. You're not confessing anything other than you're weak. I can't change that if I can't stop your dumb mouth. Now, we're not trying to be hurried, but you need to. There needs to be awakening between ears, folks. We have sat and heard many of these things, but we ain't doing them. We can know them and quote them, but we don't do it. I'm going to tell you, these last days, we got to get around to knowing some stuff, folks, and doing them, because it's not going to get easier for folks, because the devil's cast his net. Hallelujah. We begin to confess, we begin to say, call ourselves by the right things and say the right things about ourselves. See, I've never met Christians who live good lives who believe they're sinners. Well, we're just old sinners saved by grace. And they're always living in weakness. They don't go before God. They don't go before God like we were singing about humbly going before the throne. They go groveling before the throne. Humble is this. I know that I'm everything that God made me in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to worship Him and thank Him for doing it for me. It's not going on up there. I'm just so unworthy, Lord. Kenneth Hagin got called up to heaven, got rebuked by the Lord, fell down in front of the Lord and said, oh Lord, I'm not worthy. He said, Jesus spoke to him very loudly and said, get up off your feet. And he said, when he looked at Jesus' eyes, he said, it looked like there was lightning coming out of his eyes. He said, you don't say you're unworthy. I made you worthy. So you don't go to God with this religious junk. You go to God. Abraham wasn't a groveler. Abraham walked in the promise of God. He was bold. He was calling himself by what God told him in the covenant that he was. See, that's why the word, all the promises of God are yes and amen. That's what the word says. They're yes, it's not, well, I got to ask God to try to get it. No, I go to God and take what he gave me. That's what I'm doing. I'm going down there and say, hey God, your word says you gave me healing. I'm taking it. Praise God. I'm the healed of the Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for healing me. I want to thank you, Father God. I'm so glad Jesus took all of my infirmities and bore all my sicknesses. I'm so glad because I don't have to. Folks, I have done that kind of stuff when I've had loads of pain in my body with loads of stuff, and I just keep going before God. I have thrown up and at the same time laughed and said, I know I'm healed. Glory to God, I know it. Or you're just going to, well, I tell you, I'm just so sick. I tell you, I just so messed. I just, yeah. You know what that is? That's weak in faith. That's considering what's going on the outside. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let my body dominate me. The Word of God is going to dominate me if I will allow it to. What does the Word say? Let the poor say I'm rich. I'll tell you what, we're just throwing the money. I'll tell you what, it just ain't worth it. You ever walk around calling yourself rich? What do you call yourself? The Bible says God will bless the labor of your hand. And what we do, we go curse our employer and go curse the work we do. I hate this job. I just have to go. Why? Living, not living by faith, living by what we see going on around us, talking about, well, I tell you what, those Presbyterians over there, they don't understand faith and believe in God like we do. Why? We talk just like the Presbyterian. In fact, maybe worse. It's worse for the person who knows and don't do right. Praise God, I'm rich. I tell you, money comes to me easy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm blessed in the labor of my hands. Glory to God. I don't care what labor it is. What you put me around, I'll get blessed at it. See, how do you know? I read the Bible. I'm just crazy enough to believe it. I'm just crazy. See, this is why you're the labor of your hand, blessed. You can grumble at the labor of your hand. Don't do that. It's what God said He's going to bless you with. Do you believe the promise? Or just what you know, over here in the natural, everybody else is grumbling about work, so I'm going to join them. Everybody else is upset by it. Everybody else is mad about work. Everybody else says it's unfair. Well, you can sit and talk the unfair and everything else. You know what? In spite of unfair, in spite of all this stuff, God's blessing me. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'm so blessed. Glory to God. They try to take me over and I end up just getting more. Hallelujah. You get around talking right about the things. Glory to God. You know, they got all this stuff going on now, you know, and they have all this stuff out here. I'll tell you what, they're trying to convince everybody you can't retire anymore. You're going to go under. You ain't going to have no money left. Hallelujah. Their money's actually going to come to me. They don't know, but I feel sorry for them because, you know, the money's still there. It's just going to be in somebody's hands. Well, it'll come to heads. It'll be good. I ain't going to retire with it. I have plans to give some away and use some and, you know, do some things. But, you know, everybody else out there talking about the money leaving them. I know where it's going. It's going to Ed. It's coming to Ed. I know where it's coming to. It's going to come to me. Hallelujah. Well, the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the just. If anybody's just, it's Ed. Hallelujah. I believe by faith. I don't believe by my works I'm just at all. But I believe by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God. Glory to God. Money comes to me. Hallelujah. I don't have to chase it. Money's chasing me. Under the old covenant, they were told concerning, with wealth that it would follow them. Now, what do you think it's going to do in the new covenant? My God will chase you down and knock you down if you get right. My word, you can't run fast enough away from it. But we've got over it. All we believe is we're contrary to the hope of God. Our hope has been based on what the world's saying and what things look like around us. And that's what we're saying. And so you can live this life of faith. And I'll tell you what, it's beginning to get your mouth saying the right things. Begin to start calling yourself by what the Bible says about you. I don't care how, look how contrary it would be for, if we took today in the natural. There was nothing more that somebody would say that's way out of bounds of natural hope would have been Abraham, a 99 years old, and his wife, who's 89 years old, saying, you know what, next year we're going to have a kid. Remember, God showed up and told them, next year at this time, you're going to have a child. Next year at this time, he told them that. In other words, Abraham's 89 is 89 years old. Sarah's, 79 years old. Those two are 70. And God tells them that. Next year at this time. Now, can you imagine? Now, anything that seemed more hopeless than that? See, this is why people, they say, well, you know, when people have this problem, you know, they got to take medication for the rest of their life. People tell me that. I've had people tell me, well, the doctor told me I'm going to take this the rest of my life. And they're saying, and I say, yep, and you bought it too. It's impossible. If you got healed, it would only be by somebody else's faith, if they could do it, were allowed to do it. And, or, you know, something just miraculous. God in His mercy said, let's do something for that stupid idiot. That's called grace. And mercy. It's done not on the basis that you could believe God of anything. And many times God does that, whether you realize it or not. And the sad part about it is, usually those people think they were involved somehow in it of believing God, and they were never involved with it. And that's why, this, I want you to understand, if you can't duplicate what happened to you, it wasn't your faith. If you can't duplicate What happened to you? It wasn't your faith. Many times, when I first started out, I realized this as I grew in faith, that God did many things for me when I was younger in the Lord based on He was being downright nice to Ed. Ed was not in a position to believe that far, but because I was walking the best I understood to walk, He took the steps toward me, many of them sometimes, toward me to bring it to pass for me. And after I got along, I started realizing that. I remember one day talking to the Lord and said, "Lord, boy, there's a lot of stuff you did for me. Surely I wasn't in faith." I was in faith as far as I understood, but I hadn't attained. I wasn't at that place where I was really grabbing a hold of it myself. And I had to learn. And the whole point, He brought me to the place to learn where I had to get a hold of it. I can't do that today now. He won't do it that way for me. He won't do it for me. He'll tell me, there's things sometimes I'll say, "Lord, this isn't working. What's going on?" And He'll say, "You ain't walking in what you know." I say, "Yes, sir." I've learned, don't argue with Him. If He tells you, "You missed it, you missed it." Don't try to make excuses. I've gone through that. Never did me any good anyhow. And I always had to then repent. Get back over to get it right. But see, if you want to come to strong faith, I want you to think about this. Abraham was not born again. Quit giving yourself the excuse of how little you know about the Bible. But as long as you do that, you're going nowhere. There's no excuse. Don't do that. Abraham wasn't born again. He wasn't a child of God. He didn't have the nature of God. He didn't have the righteousness of God other than just by faith. He didn't have the right. He was considered righteous, but he wasn't considered the righteousness of God. Abraham wasn't born again, yet he could walk in this kind of faith. I want to tell you, there's no excuse for Ed not walking in faith. There's no excuse for me not walking in faith. There's no excuse. If I make excuse, I'll guarantee you I will live in the excuse. I live in it. But see, I look at it just like I looked at Kenneth Hagin. I said, a 16-year-old boy can believe God and get off that bed. It would be a shame for Ed Gibson to make an excuse that I can't. I said, I can do what a 16-year-old boy could do. I can do it. Quit making excuses for yourself. You can't be lazy and go here. You can't be lazy. Can't be a lazy Christian. It's going to require you, because I want to tell you what, walking in this place of great faith, this is what the Bible talks about, the good fight of faith. There's going to be a fight. But it is a good fight if you're in faith. If you're not, boy, it gets nasty. It gets nasty. Wavering is the worst fight you'll ever get in your life. It's frustrating. It's, you know, playing back and forth. Get yourself over. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there on this. I went longer, actually, than I thought I would, but we're going to have our communion here today before we go. But I just want you to get over this, is to begin to say the right things, to begin to speak the right things about yourself. If the Bible calls you healed, start to, you know, you don't wait till you're sick to start calling yourself well. This is where most people miss it. They're always out here, you know, when things are going real good, their mouth is silent to the promises of God. Their mouth's silent. They're going around saying, they're not walking around giving glory to God. I thank God all the time that I'm healed. I thank God that I'm well. I thank God I have a sound mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. My mind ain't getting flaky as I get older. I'm going to leave that to the doctor. They're all going to go nuts anyhow because they believe it. And you know what? So in other words, if your doctor tells you your mind gets going as you get older, their mind goes bad, you quit seeing him. He's getting older too. You tell him, well, then you're probably a lousy doctor. Throw it in their face sometime of what they tell you and watch what they do. You know, they either get mad and say, or, you know, I've seen them get mad already, you know. They don't like to hear it. Say, well, you're getting older, so something must be wrong with you. So I shouldn't be listening to you at all, you flake. Well, why not? They're sitting there throwing, but you know why? You know why people's minds are gone? They're sitting around, my mind, well, you get older, your mind's not as good. Well, you get older, you know, you just don't think as well. Moses was 120, his mind was sharp. Now, if your mind was going to go, at least at 120, you'd have thought his would have done left at least a few years earlier. Dear Lord. Now, think about it. He wasn't born again, was he? But see, we have taken all the stuff that the world gives and we brought it into the church. And we talk about the faith message and we talk about these things, but that's not what we're believing. That's not what we're believing. We're talking about the other stuff that's going on. We're talking about those things. We're seeing what the problems are. We're looking at the problems. We're praying about problems instead of about promises. I never said that before. But we are. We're praying about problems instead of promises. We're focused on the problem rather than the promise. And I want you to get yourself over. What the promise says you are, that's God's name to you in that area of your life. That's what you need to start calling yourself. God gave Abraham. See, God taught him how to walk by faith. He gave him a name to call himself identical to the promise. That's why when we have Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, what do you call yourself? Healed. That's the name. You'd start calling yourself that. Whatever you're facing, physical problems of any sort, you start calling yourself by what the Bible says you are. Now, I know people are going to tell you, so they're going to want you to talk about, you know, it's just like, I just think it's terrible because a person just go to a doctor about something, and then people start wanting to know, well, what did the doctor say? Tell me, you know, lots of times because you go to a doctor, you hear a bad report. And then what? Now, you know, they want to hear the bad report so they can go confess it about you. You know, you've got enough trouble in life without helping people say the wrong thing about you. You have no obligation to tell people half the stuff you tell them. And you're better off if you don't. Especially Christians. Don't tell them. My God. They'll say, I want to pray for you. I think, oh my God, don't pray for me. Please don't pray for me. Because I know how you talk. Oh God, that preacher's messed up. He needs help bad, Lord God. Do something for that dummy. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I've spoke some things very stern this morning. It's not to hurt anybody, but I tell you, there needs to be a shaking and awakening. People, there's a war going on, and people are dropping like flies. Every week I get emails, ministers died. Way before their times, 40s, 50s, dropping dead. The thief's out to steal, kill. God, you know, the devil don't care. He says, God's not a respecter of persons, and neither is the devil. He'll kill whoever he can. Amen. And it's time. We're in a war. And if Abraham could do this, if Abraham could stand for 25 years on a promise, Ed Gibson has no excuse to stand in a few months, a year. I have no excuse. There is no excuse. I'm born again. If you give yourself excuse, you'll have it. And you'll live the excuse. We're gonna do something better than that, aren't we? See, we were singing songs about the blood this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ changed us and revolutionized us. We are not ordinary people. We're not ordinary people, folks. We're children of God. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're the most blessed people that have ever walked on the face of the earth. We have the greatest promises of any generation that has ever walked on this earth. God, His plan is to move in the greatest revival that has ever struck this earth in this day and time. But folks, I want you to understand this. If you're not a person of faith, you might watch it, but you'll never live it. Ed's going to live it. I'm going to live this thing. I'm going to have the anointing on me. I'm going to have it working through me. I'm not going to have it to watch it just for somebody else. I'm going to cheer for other people to get it. But I'm not going to sit back and just wait. Well, we'll see what God wants to do. I read the book. I know what He wants to do. He wants me anointed a whole lot more than I am. Hallelujah. I know what He wants me to do. He wants me to walk in a greater anointing. I know what He wants me to do. He wants me to have more money, more health, and more of everything He has and planned and did for me through Christ Jesus. He wants it all more. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. That's his desire for me. I don't have to consider, well, what about this? What about that? No, it's about me. It's what I decide. It's what we decide. Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lease. He didn't say, look, whatever I want to do, I'll do. And whatever I don't want to do, I won't do. Whose hands is it in? It's in ours. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to, first of all, take responsibility for my life. You know, if my life's squirrely, it's Ed's fault. It ain't somebody else's fault. If it ain't working, Ed must have a problem. We're going to walk and live in this thing right, folks. You need to get over it, get it down. I have the keys. You have the keys of the kingdom. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to bind or what are you going to loose? If we keep walking over there in the contrary to God's hope, we're going to be loosing things. That's what's happened in this day and age. We have loose things in the earth that we're living with, that we're sitting around and complaining about somebody else doing it to you. If it would be for this president, I'm just telling you, this president would not be in office if the church hadn't put him in. And not by vote. I'm not talking about vote. People not walking by faith. Well, things are just going to go down the tubes. You know, in these last days, the Bible talks about all the stuff. Well, you may go down the toilet. Well, I may watch you go, but I'm not going with you. Hallelujah. I'm not going down the toilet. The church don't have to be dragged out here. There's a glorious church leaving. Ed's going to be in that one. Hallelujah. How do you know? Because I'm trusting God. I'm not too sure about Ed, but I'm sure about God. Hallelujah. Ed would do anything, but my God will always do what His Word says. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You today. Father, as we take these elements of communion, Father Jesus, we're getting our focus off the earthly and onto the heavenly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, You're Lord. Oh, Jesus, we sang about Your blood today, and I'm so thankful for Your blood. The price paid, hallelujah, to redeem me, hallelujah, Father God, to transport us from the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of light. Father, I just want to thank You for taking us into the light. I thank You, Lord God, we're children of light, not darkness, hallelujah. We're not a bunch of unbelieving, backslidden buzzards. We're children of God. We're believers, and we walk by faith and not by sight, hallelujah. Father God, I want to thank You that Your hand is on us in the name of Jesus. Father, we're becoming what the Word says we are. Father God, we're not going to let anybody speak any different to us. We're not going to listen to the voices and the naysayers. Father God, we're going to look at Your Word and whatever Your promise says, it's true. Hallelujah. It's what it is. We are what the Word says we are. We can do what this Word says we can do. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank You. Father God, we're not beaten down, an old whore waiting for a husband to come along and somebody to try to marry us off. Father God, we're the Church of Jesus Christ, and we have a Lord and a Savior, hallelujah, who's coming back for us, hallelujah, in His glory. And Father God, that glory is not going to be on Him only, it's on us, hallelujah, the glorious church. And I thank You, Father God. Father, as Jesus asked this question, He asked, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? And I just want to let you know, Jesus, I'm going to answer your question. Yes! Hallelujah! Yes! There's going to be faith in the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Glory to God. And I thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You for giving me the opportunity to answer the question. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank You, Father God, for all that You're going to accomplish and do through our faith and Your Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, I hope that helped you. It helped me today. Stirred me up.